This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let's come back to our own problems because we have our own worries here at home. So the ANC president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has penned what was described there as a final letter to the DA leader, John Steenhuisen, after he responded to their meeting and the proposals put on the table for the formation of the Government of National Unity executive, accusing Mr. Steenhuisen of moving the goalposts in negotiating with the ANC and wanting to set up an illegal parallel government which would operate outside the constitution. The deal with the DA is reportedly now on a knife's edge over the allocation of ministries, and it seems like the Department of Trade and Industry is the one that now has been taken off the table by the ANC President Cyril Ramaphosa. Mr. Ramaphosa said in the letter that discussions with all 10 parties to the statement of intent have served to entrench an appreciation for the constitution, but this hasn't been the case with the DA. Let's get some perspective and thought on this one. Joined on the line by political commentator Lou Power. Lukhona Mguni is on the line to us. Kuten, good morning.
Titi, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Excellent. Always well, man. Always good to talk to you. Just a quick take before we delve into. We are in letter bomb season here. What are you making of the way that this deliberations are being handled?
Well, I mean, I think it tells you of the nature of the temperature. I mean, in a sensitive conversation of this nature, one would expect that the negotiators continuously come back to the negotiation table to iron out matters. Because once you start dealing, in written form, it absents that ability to build, strong relationships between the parties, between the negotiators, so that as they move along the deal and towards finality, they are able really to iron out differences, agree on terms, and of course, I think, it also lends itself to what we have seen in the last 48 hours, where there's just now an endless leaking of material to the media, which one can view it as almost an attempt to pressure the other side. And in instances like this, nobody ever wants to admit that I am the one leaking. And then it further creates suspicion and conspiracy within the negotiation. So it undermines the spirit of negotiation. There ought to be an agreed pathway in terms of how do we keep the public updated, how do we sort out deadlocks and all of that, and where do we cut it when we talk about deal breakers? I mean, parties have been promising the public that this is not about positions and so on, but it's now becoming a little bit about positions and more, as you say, about the details of the letter.
And I mean, the leak, as you describe them, they also seem to be strategic, in the sense that the letter that we saw from the president is 2 days old, and that kind of thing, that the leaks are not happening in real time. And I can't help but wonder, that if it is strategic, whose strategy is it serving best?
Well, look, I think in some part there was a lot of, information coming from the DA universe through people who may well see themselves as quite close to the DA, like, journalists, some of them with certain publications. I won't go into that. But what is quite clear to me, Titi, is that I'm beginning to be convinced that in the DA universe, there was an attempt to say to the public, look, we are not being unreasonable. It's just all we are demanding from the ANC. And then I think at some point, the strategy started backfiring on the DA, where the public started, the public sentiment, at least in terms of what I've got access to, people started saying, no, but guys, come on, we just want to get the show moving. Why do you appear to be like you are so stuck now and blocking the formation of government? And in any case, this is not a... And also what makes this thing difficult, it is that this is not a classic coalition arrangement just between
two
the
parties,
ANC and the DA. There are many other parties that are involved in this. And I think the manner in which, you know, this has been elevated almost into an ANC-DA coalition is probably causing that in the government of national unity, because we are almost treated like that distant cousin. Once we have sort of, then we can bring you in. And I think that is a strategic blunder. By now, there ought to have been some forum that is already created for all the political parties that are in the GNU, so that maybe in that forum you are able to, you know, sort out and iron out quite a number of things, including, I mean, it's just the ANC and the DA that seem to be having the luxury to determine the quota in terms of what party gets how many seats within cabinet, for example. And I think that in the long term, it really poses a structural threat to the GNU, because everybody else then is at the mercy of whether or not, you know, the ANC and the DA are satisfied with their quota, and then whatever crumbs are left of cabinet, then they can be decided to other political parties. I think it's really an unfortunate part, and of course it undermines, as I've always been saying, that this is a GNU. Effectively, this is a grand coalition for the ANC, the DA, plus the IFP and others.
Is there a world in which you see the ANC now pivoting towards a minority government, where they will take their chances on what would be a rather shaky coalition, in inverted commas, you know, if they coalesced with the rest of the parties that have signed the statement of intent, and hope maybe to also sway one or two other parties? Or is there even, do you even see a possibility of the EFF making a late surge of the, you know, from the bench?
Well, look, I mean, Titi, at this point in time, the formation of cabinet is very clear. The president has a prerogative to appoint. There is a president in office, and I don't think that the DA would coalesce around the likes of MK or even the EFF if they were interested in recalling the president and voting in a new one. So I don't think the standing of the government in terms of how it formed is under threat at this point in time. What the considerations now probably is, even for the DA, it's very difficult to walk back when you've traveled so far into a deal. And you've said so much in the public. But I do think that, there are things that, you know, irritated the ANC, irritated the president in particular, particularly in terms of how the DA was imagining some instances in terms of how cabinet would operate, almost like this balkanized cabinet, where you've got your share, we've got our share, focus on your share, leave us to focus on our share, and so on. And that's not how cabinet works. And what's unfortunate is that, I mean, part of the people, you know, who are very intimate to this process is Helen Zille. She was Premier of the Western Cape. She's run a cabinet. She actually knows how cabinet works. And I think they were trying to game a situation where, you know, as much as they've been bemoaning the ANC for CADA deployment, to say, but let's take a loophole and maybe the ANC will be excited about this. So, okay, you don't have to have a say on our appointments of DGs as ANC ministers. But I think the president is also trying to hold the line here. You can't use negotiations to then influence a new mechanism in terms of how cabinet works. I mean, there's a long tradition of how cabinet works in this country, and how things are debated and dealt with at cabinet, and how the president has full oversight and leadership of cabinet.
Finally, Lukona, the word is that we are now going to, the president has given the DA until Sunday to conclude, well, to respond to him. Where do you see things going now?
Look, I think anything is possible at the moment, Titi. I think the DA has had a very long federal executive meeting yesterday. I'm sure at some point there will be outcomes that are communicated directly to the public. Look, I think wherever the chips must fall, the president, in my view, the president can't afford to go beyond Sunday without having announced a cabinet, because it's going to start causing a credibility crisis for himself in terms of whether or not he is in charge of this situation. I think the window of patience is beginning to close amongst the public, investors. I mean, of course, you saw the markets yesterday when the news came in that the deal was on the knife's edge. Mm. The markets beginning to react. So he does need to then create an environment where there's less volatility and more certainties, whether the markets tumble or they stabilize, but that will only hang on the strength of, there being a direction in terms of where things are. And I think Sunday, is potentially a good call to say beyond Sunday, anything becomes a bit untenable.
Thank you so much to Power Lupawa. That is Lukhona Mguni on the line. There is a political analyst commentator, of course. Thank you so much for your time, as always.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.